Would turn with me to Luke chapter 15 as we're beginning a new pathway in transforming grace and finding victory. Luke chapter 15. Do you ever feel trapped or stuck in a scenario? Do you ever find yourself feeling like you can't? Okay. Alma's motioning for me. Anybody else need a Bible? Ever feel like you can't? There is something, you just can't do it. Or ever feel like this is never going to change? The scenario that I'm in, the way that I am, will never change. I'll never be able to get out of it. Perhaps you even feel trapped with inside yourself. No one will understand. I can't. I've tried. Maybe you've tried over and over and over again, and then you keep failing, and you feel trapped in being this kind of person, whatever the kind of person is, that you want to be this way, but you keep acting this way. You want to not do this anymore, but you keep doing it, and you feel trapped, and you feel stuck. Or maybe you have found yourself in a season where you are in a valley, or you are in a season of devastation and heartache. And perhaps you did nothing to bring yourself there, or maybe as you reflect, you realize that you have made some choices that have brought you into this season where you are in a valley, where you are being impacted by destruction and devastation, and you feel trapped. Perhaps you started to feel the feelings of insecurity and inadequacy. You're not sure of yourself. Maybe even you're not sure of your own salvation. Insecure, unstable. You have feelings that well up within you of anger, bitterness, and despair, and depression, and you feel trapped. And today the Lord wants to show us how to begin to break ground towards the pathway of victory. And all the feelings and all those emotions and all those scenarios that I described to you that you very well might be in the midst of, the prodigal son experienced those exact same feelings. Look with me, if you will, Luke chapter 15, beginning at verse 11. And he said, Jesus, that is, and he said, there was a man who had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of property that is coming to me. And he divided his property between them. Verse 13, not many days later, the younger son gathered all he had and took a journey into a far country. And there he squandered his property in reckless living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine arose in that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him into his fields to feed pigs. And he was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, and no one gave him anything. Verse 17. And when he came to himself, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me as one of your hired servants. And he arose and came to his father, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, bring quickly the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. And they began to celebrate. Verse 25, now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard music and dancing. And he called one of the servants and asked what these things meant. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has received him back safe and sound. Verse 28. But he was angry and refused to go in. His father came out and entreated him, but he answered his father, look, these many years I have served you, and I never disobeyed your commandment. Yet you never gave me a young goat that I might celebrate with my friends. But this son of yours, who has devoured your property with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, son, you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours. It was fitting to celebrate and be glad, for this brother was dead and is alive. He was lost and is found. In this story, we hear similarities to some of what we are going through. Verse 14, he began to be in need. Verse 15, he hired himself out. He sought help out somewhere else. Verse 15, he ended up in a place where he began to feed the pigs. Anybody ever feed pigs before? They are dirty, dirty animals, but ham still tastes so good somehow, huh? He also was longing to be fed with the pods that the pigs ate, the slop that they were eating. This was where he was. No one was giving him anything. He was finding no support. He was alone. And the way he began to see himself, verse 19, is, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. He was in a bad place. And yet in this story, we're going to find how to break ground towards the pathway to victory. And you might find yourself with various flaws and sin issues that you wrestle with, emotional issues that you wrestle with. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Lord doesn't want us to be bound. The Lord doesn't want us to be trapped inside ourselves. He wants to help us walk in victory. And today he's going to give us the blueprint to begin to go down that road. And that blueprint is found in that if we know how to approach God, then we're going to begin to break ground towards victory. And Jesus is illustrating for us how to approach God. First, the prodigal son says in verse 12, give me the share. He wanted his stuff now. He wasn't concerned that the father had not passed yet. He wanted his stuff now. And then he took a journey, and he took a journey to a faraway place. He was going off out of the father's house, off of the father's restrictions, the father's rules, to go and do his own thing. Then he squandered, verse 13, and he squandered it with reckless living. And some of us have gone down that road, haven't we? Where we are in the father's house and we have all the things that are beneficial to us in the father's house, but there's something else that we also want. And so we begin to look at what we want to have, and we begin to go after the things that we want, and we begin to distance ourselves from the Father's house, from the Father's rules, and we do our own thing. And we do focusing on ourselves. Even the brother, I don't know if you noticed the brother, but even the brother had his issues with focusing on self. In verse 29, he says, you never gave me. And fill in the blank of what comes after that. And I think that we've said that sometimes to God. You never gave me. I know that you gave me this and that, but you never gave me this. And then he says also in verse 30, he said, this son of yours devoured your property with prostitutes. He did bad stuff, and he's getting rewarded for this. And sometimes we find ourselves as followers of Jesus Christ, and we see somebody else getting blessings. We're being obedient. We're doing the right stuff. We're listening to God. We're getting involved in the church. We're giving. We're sharing our faith. And that guy who does none of it is getting blessed by God. And then we say, where's my stuff, God? Where's my stuff? There has never been a person that was angry and wasn't angry because they were looking at themselves. Because it's not the way I want it. They're not treating me the way I want to be treated. I don't have what I want to have, focused on self. And as we pursue God, if we remain focused on self, that perhaps is the reason why your depression is lingering. That perhaps is the reason, because you won't be sad if you're concerned about everybody else. If you're concerned about everybody else's welfare and you're concerned about pleasing God, but it's when you realize, well, I don't have enough and nobody likes me and my body is falling apart and I focus on me, then the joy goes and the anger comes and the bitterness comes and all those problems that come with it. And the Lord wants to break ground towards victory for you. But we have to get our eyes off of ourselves. Amen. And not be so focused on what we don't have. But do you want victory? Do you really want victory? Because listen, you say you want to be a person who studies the Bible and prays and lives right, and you don't. You know why you don't? Because you don't want to. You want to be involved in the church, but you don't. Why? Because really you don't want to. You have all the reasons that we give with our mouths. But I tell you what, if the right thing comes along and you want it bad enough, you will move heaven and earth to get it. You will change your schedule. You will give up money for it. Whatever it is, if you want something bad enough, it doesn't matter if you don't feel like you can move your body to get it. If you want it bad enough, you will get it. And so the reason why we find ourselves bound and trapped is because we don't really want to be that way. We want what we want. And the first step in approaching God in this is to learn how to not focus on me. If I can learn not to focus on me, I'm going to begin to break ground towards victory. Secondly, in verse 17, the prodigal son, it says he came to himself, or some translations say he came to his senses. And then he says, my father's hired servants have more than enough food. Sometimes we go on that journey of doing it our own way because we think this is what will make me feel good. This is how I will get what I want. This is how I'll make life be the way I want it to be. And we go on our journey to a distant land, to a faraway place. And we think these are the people that are going to love us. These are the people that are going to fulfill me and all of that. So I go and I be with those people. Only to at some point realize that I am there in the midst of the pigs, in the filth, wanting to eat the slop, and I'm stuck in a rut. And I'm realizing that the people that are all around me, as the prodigal son said, or as it says of his story, there was nobody to help him. He was longing to eat the slop in front of him, but nobody was willing to help him out. The people that he thought would give him pleasure and delight, the people that he thought he would get what he wants, there he is in devastation and heartache. And he realized, that's not the way it is in my father's house. When I was there, I had all the provisions I could need. When I was there, there was life and abundantly. When I was there, there was joy and comfort. But I chose, because I wanted what I want, to leave my father's house. And he came to realize that all satisfaction is truly only found in God. And we must come to that realization that the only way you can truly ever know peace, truly ever know joy, truly ever be satisfied is to know God, to be satisfied in God. In fact, the reason why we turn to sin and the issues in our lives is because we're not satisfied with God. We want something more. The reason why we can't get ourselves involved in the body of Christ, involved in sharing our faith with the lost, why we can't seek the Word, why we can't spend time in prayer, the reason why is because that's not satisfying to us. And as much as we might say other things when they come out of our mouths, deep down within our heart, we know that that is not satisfying. And you will never be content. You will never find joy. You will never find peace. You will never be comforted. You will never find satisfaction and security unless you are satisfied in God. It's the only way. But you want other things. And I'm telling you, the Bible says sin is pleasing for a season, but in the end is destruction. The wages of sin is death. And God wants to give you victory, but you can't have victory if you're focusing on self. You can't have victory if you're not satisfied with God. In fact, the father said to the brother, "You are always," verse 31, "you are always with me, and all that is mine is yours." The brother is all irritated and irate that the son gets a celebration. Yet all the while, the brother never ate with the pigs. The brother never had devastation. The brother never had heartache. And yes, it's because he chose to stay in the father's house. But he was always with the father. And he always had everything he could ever want, ever need. He always had provisions. And some of us, I'm amazed at how many of us can be so blessed and yet so miserable. Because out of all the 100 things that we can have in our lives, there's one thing we don't have. And so I hate life, and I'm in despair, and I'm not satisfied. But God is always there. And if I'm satisfied with God, then it doesn't matter if my body's falling apart. It doesn't matter if my mind doesn't recall things as quickly as it used to. And my hands won't do what I want them to do. Doesn't matter if there's nothing in the bank account or if it's overdrawn. Because if I'm satisfied in God, I'm truly satisfied, and it doesn't matter about all those things. And if you want to find victory over your sin, over your vices, over the habits, and you want to find victory to begin to start to do the things that you believe you're supposed to be doing, then get your eyes off yourself, become satisfied in God, and desire God. The prodigal said in verse 18, "I will arise and go to my father." And then verse 20, he came to his father. He wanted now to be with his father. And sometimes, for whatever reason, it takes us going down that road, going down that season of hardship and difficulty for us to realize how good it is to know the Father. And there he was, longing now, longing to be with the father. And there was the brother who, when he saw the activity of his father throwing a great celebration, it says in verse 28, he refused to go in there. He would not go into that place. In fact, he was demanding to his father, "I want to celebrate with my friends. Not I want to be with my father, I want to celebrate with my friends." He was not satisfied with God. He did not want God. He did all the right stuff. He was obedient. He was in the Father's house. And sometimes we can be in the Father's house. You can be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You can come and visit us throughout the week and be here every day and still not be satisfied in God. You can have righteousness that exceeds the Apostle Paul and still not be satisfied in God, still not be wanting God. You can do all those things. Study your Bible, pray, fast, witness, and still not actually want God. Because when push came to shove, when the brother saw somebody got a party and not him, now he's not pleased. Because he wasn't pleased with just being. In fact, he could have gone into that party. Did you know that? He could have gone in and eaten part of the fattened calf. He could have delighted in the celebration. But because he wasn't the center of attention, because somebody who didn't deserve was getting, he stayed out of the activity of the Father. And sometimes you and I, we find ourselves stuck in a rut, trapped, unable to overcome. And all the while, we were staying out of the activity of God, refusing to go in because we're practicing self-pity. Woe is me. Nobody cares about me. God doesn't care about me. And sometimes we sound like a country western song. You like country. And we're complaining and murmuring because we don't want God. We want health. We don't want God. We want money. We don't want God. We want to feel good. But if you start desiring God, all of a sudden you're going to see ground begin to break and you're going to begin this pathway to victory, but only if you know how to seek God. You see, seeking God's just not uttering some prayers. Seeking God isn't just singing some songs. Seeking God is abandoning myself and being satisfied in nothing else but God and desiring God. And lastly, and this is the most important one, and this is the one that you must get. And any time I have found myself, and believe it or not, I have my own struggles, my own flaws, and I at times give way to the flesh. And any time I find myself sinning, this is the one principle that has to stay firm in my mind that I've disciplined myself to do, and that is to run to God. Doesn't matter how many times you've sinned, what the sin is. Because you see, the tendency is in Genesis chapter 3, when Adam and Eve sinned, they hid from God. They ran in the bush and they hid from God. In their shame and in their guilt, instead of running towards God, they ran from God. And isn't that what our flesh tells us to do? When you sin, well, I am not worthy. And isn't that what the prodigal son began to say? I am no longer worthy to be called his son. And in our sin, we feel guilty and, well, I don't want to pick up this book, the Bible, because I feel guilty. And we start to pull away. We don't pray as much anymore. We don't worship. We disappear from church for a season. We pull out of ministries. And we withdraw from God in our guilt and our shame when that is the opposite of what God wants you to do. In fact, the prodigal son, he realized, even though he blew it, he took the whole inheritance and blew it, wasted it, and yet he had the gall to want to go back to the Father. As he should. But he did it in the right way. He said, I have sinned. He was willing to admit that he was sinful. He was willing to come as a servant. Treat me as one of your hired servants, verse 19. He ran to God. And the prophet Joel, in the midst of God bringing judgment and captivity, in the midst of the Israelites committing any number of sexual immorality issues and deviancy, prostitution, incest, all sorts of wickedness, in the midst of abandoning the ways of God, in the midst of committing idolatry and witchcraft, bringing even idols into God's temple, even sacrificing their own children to idols. In the midst of that, God inspired the prophet Joel in chapter 2 to say this. The same words that in the midst of your sin, your flaws, your failures, repeated failures, large failures, that you say, I am not worthy. Now enough is enough. I can't enter in. The message in the midst of that, that Joel was inspired by God to say is this, and listen to this. Yet, even now, declares the Lord. Return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments. Return to the Lord, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And any time I fail, any time I sin, my flesh wants me to withdraw, but I run to God. Even though you've reached a place where you thought you were past it, that was beyond you now, you were better than that, and then all of a sudden you come across it again and you fail again, and there are the words of the prophet Joel coming from God, yet even now, run to God. This is the answer to victory. This is the beginning to the stage of going down that path to being delivered, is if every time I fail, every time I struggle, every time I stumble, doesn't matter if it's the 800,000th time, if I start the practice of immediately running to God, I'm going to find victory in that. And the prodigal, when he came running to the Father, as much as he might have anticipated judgment, punishment even. No, that's not what he got. Before he can even get to the Father, as soon as the Father saw him coming down the road, the Father ran to him. The Father felt compassion for him. And he, as much as the prodigal son felt no sense of self-worth, he was not deserving. The father said, bring the best robe, bring a ring, slaughter the calf, and let's throw a party for this son of mine. He wanted to be called a servant, but he was still called the son. Not because he was deserving, but because that is the way your father responds when you run to him. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? It does not matter what you've done and how many times you've done it and who you even did it to. The words to us are this. No matter how many times you failed, no matter how many times you did not do the right thing, the words to you are this, yet even now. Those three words are powerful. Yet even now, return to me. If we get that practice, if we do that every time we fall, every time we stumble, every time we fail, every time we sin, every time we end up with the pigs, every time we bring devastation and destruction, if we get this, run to God. Victory. There is victory to be found. And you find yourself here today, perhaps feeling distant from God, perhaps avoiding the issues that you have in your life. Perhaps you feel those feelings of, I can't, I won't, this will never change, I can't recover. Doesn't matter if it's a family issue, it doesn't matter if it's your marriage, it doesn't matter if it's your finances, it doesn't matter if it's your health, your character, whatever it is, you can if you run to the Father. And what is waiting for us is what the Father demonstrated to the prodigal son, and what the Apostle Paul wrote in Ephesians chapter 2. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And listen to this. Raised us. We are undeserving. And yet he raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That is what awaits anybody who comes to him. Not anybody who lives without sin. Not anybody who does great things. Not anybody who loves all the time. Not anyone who succeeds. No. The person who runs to God is seated with him in the heavenly places, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works. You can't do a single thing to earn it. And so when the enemy, when your flesh, when someone comes along and tells you you're not worthy, don't listen to that voice. Listen to the voice of God. Yet, even now, run to me. And in a moment, the worship team is going to lead us, and I'm going to give us a chance to run to the Father. Don't worry if you're not physically able to run. God might get to you before you even get to Him, because the Father's arms are open wide for you. But what is it you need to do when you run to Him? Is it that you need to get your eyes off of yourself? Is it that you need to truly learn to be satisfied in God, to desire Him? Is it that you need to abandon your journey of doing your own thing, your own way, and learn to just simply run to God? Because right here at these altars, right here found in the presence of the Father, is the beginning of a new way of living for you. Beginning of a new marriage, a new family, new finances, new habits. Because the Father is here with open arms, ready to embrace you when you think judgment, when you think correction, when you think punishment. There is immeasurable grace here in the Father. And so as the worship team leads us, don't wait, don't hesitate. Come and embrace the Father. Run to Him. Hallelujah. You are perfect, Lord. You are perfect in all your ways. And Lord, you never cease to amaze me that no matter how many times I struggle, how many times I fail, how many times I still find flaws within me, you still love me. You still shower and lavish your grace upon me. You still show me favor. You still give me blessing. Because it's by grace, not by works, not by anything I can do, but your love is not merited. It's not earned. We can't gain it. It's just given to us because we are your children. So, Lord, I ask that not one person leaves this place if their heart is to run to you, if their heart truly is to surrender to you, then may not one person leave this place with a shred of guilt hanging on their shoulder. Because there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And when the enemy comes, when another person comes, when our own guilty conscience comes and says to us, we can't be forgiven, all is lost, we can't overcome, we can't encounter God, may we remember the words of Joel, yet even now, return to me. We thank you so, so much for your grace. We ask that you would help us forever to rest in that grace. In Jesus' name, amen.